Car guys, car gals, what's going on? This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And this is Frelin Arts, the subprime hero.
And we are excited to be brewing solutions on the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. So do us a quick favor, tag a car guy, tag a car gal, invite some solutionaries to join this room real quick. We have a very, very special guest.
Oh, man.
Sean Welsh is in the cafe, and he is brewing solutions. And we are so pumped up to see what it is that he has to drop inside of your cup. So do us a favor.
Share.
This brew is brought by our solutionary partners at Think Ag Group, Dealership Toolkit, Elite FI Partners, ExoGloss, and the NextSale app. Let's brew!
And we are pumped up to really get down to the nitty gritty about dealing with how the changes in the car business have made everybody have to adjust the way that they think. And though this hasn't been a mastered down science yet, we are continuously evolving, we are continuously adapting, and the car business needs to be done better. And we are so pumped up that we have the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend. So excited to have Sean Welsh inside of the cafe.
Good morning, sir, man.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. He is not an early riser, but he came to the show this morning. He's doing it. Look at him. He looks like he's been doing it all day already. I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Yeah. You guys and your coffee. For those of us who don't use caffeine, it's a little bit rough to get going. But, you know, hey, I'm here to do it.
I totally understand. You know, nothing wrong with that at all. You know, the thing is that the Car Guy coffee isn't just the drink. It's the aura. It's the culture. It's about being caffeinated. It's about being upbeat about life, about business, about doing it better. And I love that because I think that our energies really synergize really well together. Because I am exactly what's your name of your company, CarBiz Done Better. That to me is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to brew solutions for that future business. We want to make business better. When we started this podcast, it was all about making this business a little bit better than we started it in, right? And that's all we wanted to change. Yeah, exactly like you said. And it's that stigma of car guys out there, of people with the way the average consumer looks at us. It's horrible. It's a bad, bad place to be in some situations. So everybody I deal with, everybody I get to touch, I want to change that in their mind. And I know that you're doing that, and you're doing it with such class. You do it so straight up, man. You're one of the most straight up people I know. You don't just fluff stuff up. You make it to the point. So
you ain't fluffing around.
No, for sure, man. That's what it's all about. You know, we have I've been saying something for a long time since we started our company back in 2013, which is our goal is to leave this business better than we found it. And that's always what we hope to accomplish with what we do, everything we talk about, everywhere we work. The goal is always to move the industry forward. Of course, we're in this for money. We don't have a red cross on our building, but at the end of the day, it is about moving our industry forward. And if you do the right things, you know, money will come your way. If I wanted money, I would have never sold my stake in dealerships. I would have never left the retail side of the industry, frankly, if I was interested in getting that rich that fast. But that isn't the interest in what drives us today. So it's about making this business better. And my name, the name of the company is something I've been – it used to actually be the name of my first business in Colorado. It was called Green Biz Done Better, and I'll let that just sit where that sits with you guys. But this company here, when we created it, a lot of people were like, man, you're arrogant. How could you dare, you know, name your business that? And I thought, arrogance, it got nothing to do with it. It's because it's my goal, is what I believe in, it's my passion. And so the logo you see everywhere behind me on my shirt, it was created by a friend of ours at a restaurant, you know, in the middle of cocktails. Me and my business partner said, hey, this is the name of the business. What do you think? And he took a napkin, took a pen, turned around, came back, put it up on the screen. We were just like, yeah, you know, and I'm in. And so, yeah, dude, it's a cool deal. We really enjoy what we do. So I appreciate you guys having me on early or not. This is the same energy at 7:30 in the morning or 12 o'clock at night when I was texting with, when I was talking with Frederick the other day. So it just doesn't make a difference. You know, we're in it to win it.
That's it, man. Early, you know, I'll be honest with you. My whole life, I've always said the words, I'm not a morning person. And deep down, because I say that, I am not. But I tend to find I have a lot of good times in the morning. So, you know, Lou and I, we've tried to mix up our brew. We used to do it nothing but nighttime. You know, so when we did that episode the other night with John, when we interviewed him, that was our normal time every night. We would do that Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. But we come to find that the audience, we had to mix it up. We had to get early because there's a lot of early people out there, a lot of them, especially in this business, because they got to get to work early, you know. So
I won't lie to you. I saw the nighttime episode and I thought, boys, that's probably a little bit more up my wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? We could have really been jamming. In order for you guys to get John on the show in California, probably nighttime is your only shot. So, and I get that, and I got nothing but love for John and what he does. So it's great. But yeah, man, it's all good. I'm not a morning person either, but I don't really look at it that way. As soon as I get out of bed, the day has started. Let's do it.
Let's grind, you know, because it is that day, and I'm glad to have you here. So, you know, what we love to do with every guest that we have come on the shows, we love to do the Forgive, Focus, Fly. It is our mantra. It's all about what we do. And, you know, Lou's really great at explaining it, so I'm going to pass this mic over to Lou so he can tell you about this so we can get this thing going.
Well, appreciate it. So the concept of Forgive, Focusing, and Flying is to make sure that the heaviest load that you carry gets off your shoulders. But it takes intent. It takes you personally looking deep at whatever it is that you can have to hold against yourself, to hold against other people, to hold against other businesses, and making a conscious effort to wipe that junk off your shoulders, get it off of you so that it cannot hold you up from focusing on what it is that you actually can improve, what you actually are created to do, and what you actually are able to help this world with. Then after that point, you're freed up and you're flying and you keep growing. So Sean Welsh, inside of the cafe, the only way that the car biz can be done better is to make sure that we apply 3 F's and forgive, focus, and fly. So we appreciate you. Go ahead and cross them arms with us real quick. And on 3, 1, 2, 3, forgive, focus, fly, and keep growing. Get you some of that.
Car guys,
we have some great messaging that's going to come through as we go through this entire episode. I want to make sure that you do know, though, that the concepts of thinking outside of the box, thinking of something outside of what you already know, is something that we want to make sure that we poke and we prod at, that you listen to other voices. The biggest thing that I think has been the issue in the car business is we've been very much reluctant to let other people influence us, listen to us. That's why in the industry of the automotive industry, it's taken so long for digital marketers to get the ear of dealers to say, hey, this is changing. The way retail is happening is changing, and you need to take a conscious effort to listen to what's happening. If Amazon can deliver toilet paper by way of a drone, then you need to figure out a way that you get your car to somebody else's home. So thinking of big outside of the box, we want to thank one of our sponsors, Think Ad Group, for being an incredible solutionary group of people that are doing that. They know how to reach in and help you find the solutions inside of your own database. Appreciate you.
How cool was that graphic? So, folks, I love it. This is the five liner. I'm going to go straight into this, man. Sean, good morning. Thank you for being here again. Folks, everybody out there, I'm going to throw a quick shout out real quick to everybody who's commenting right now. I got Wendy Reeves. Thank you. Double dipping. She was in the clubhouse. Now she's here. Long time no see. Yes, Wendy. Thanks for being here.
I'm a morning person. I mean, it's really early in Arizona. So I appreciate that, Wendy Reeves. You're a real star. Thank you.
She is. You got DJ. DJ dropped himself a book recently. It is a great book. I hope you guys haven't had a chance to read it. He's still signing. He's going to be sending it to me. I actually sent my copy to him. So, DJ, I'm glad you're here this morning. He says, the energy. Yes, it's that caffeinated culture, brother. As Brody says, good morning. We got DJ. He did the F3 AKG is forgive, focus, fly, and keep growing. He coined that himself. I appreciate that, DJ. Thank you so much. And we got Michelle Streets, one of the Sisters of Savings. Forgive, focus, and flying. All right. So we have a five-liner that we'd like to drop. We ask five questions. These five questions are very important questions on figuring out who you are, what motivates you, and how you got to where you're at today. Right? And I think that's so key for everybody out there, because to see people like you, like I literally, when I started doing this game of podcasting and trying to be an encourager and influencer in a sense, I watched you a lot. I watched how you were doing it. Your no-nonsense type of style is beautiful, man. You definitely drop so many great gems for everybody to be able to just take in and learn from. Even when you, I mean, I tell you, I shouldn't say even, I love the posts you do when you're out in the nature, man. You live in a really beautiful area, and why not take advantage of that? And it's so, like, so different than what you see from other car people, mm-hmm. right? And that's what I love about it. You know, it take notes from that. Lou has done a few out there on his property, too. Really beautiful shots. You know, we take notes from stuff like that. You do some beautiful stuff, so we are so glad to have you here. I'm so excited about asking you these five questions. But the first question is always the same one. The first question is, what is your why? What's your purpose? What motivates you every single day to wake up and get up at 7:30 and do an interview and stuff like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I guess I kind of gave it away already, right? But it's to leave this business better than I found it. It's not going to change foundationally who I am for this business. That's what motivates me. But more importantly, what motivates me is life. Used to be money when I was a kid. That's all I chased, all I wanted to do. It's how I got into the car business. Was everything that everything was everything, and it revolved around money. As I've gotten older, and my wife and I have kind of changed our focus in our own lives, it just has not become as important. And again, like I said, I don't run the Red Cross. I don't want anyone to confuse me for someone taking handouts. It's not it. It's just, it isn't the driving force. You know what I mean? When people hear me say that I have a cap for the number of customers I'm going to work with, the first response is, well, yeah, of course, then you're going to grow your business and make it bigger. The answer is no. The list is the list. The people we do business with are the people we do business with. And that's how we intend to keep it. Now, even on my own show on Monday with my buddy Andrew Street, he came in the middle of the damn show and was like, yeah, 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 but when are you going to scale? And he even knows this stuff. And people still continuously challenge me on it because it's not something they've ever heard before. People don't understand the idea of it's good enough. And I don't mean that in a lazy way. I mean in a specific way that if you've got, in our case, you know, 70 plus clients in a small organization, when is enough enough to make sure you're servicing and doing the right job? So and that's what it's always been about for me, man, is helping this business move forward one way or another. And that's what drives me. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. That's what gets me to work every day. And doing shows like this is see, I love this. I love the pandemic has taught everyone how much to love my life. And I mean that because I've been doing video work and Zoom interviews for a long time. I don't get out much. I'm not really a public kind of guy anymore. We gave up going to shows a few years ago. So this is how to be out here doing this with you guys is to help people hear the message. People say, oh, you must be doing it to get business. Again, the list of people left is short anyways. I do this because guys like you asked me to do it. And if it's important to you all to have my voice out there, of course, I want to lend it to any cause I think can help move this business forward.
That's awesome. Oh, I love it, man, because you're right. I do love having your voice here. And I do want your voice to be on my show. I want to share your voice. My audience, most of them probably know who you are already. Mm-hmm. Some of them may just know seeing a couple of your videos. So I want them to get to know you. I want to get to know why, how you got to where you're at. And, you know, to have a motivation like that, to leave this business better than you got into it, it's so important, you know, with any career you do, whether it's in the car business, whether you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter. You could be the trash man. Be the best version of that. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, do it the best, because what's the point of doing anything unless you're trying your best, man? And it's so true. You want to do it better than other people have done it in the past. You know, and it's okay if you're not that type of person who likes to have all the glory and stuff. And neither does Sean. Sean isn't a glory reaching person. I had to reach out to him and say, hey, will you come on my show? He didn't say, hey, Fred, I want to come on your show so I can talk about my business. As a matter of fact, I didn't even really bring you on the show about your business. I brought it on about you,
I mean, look, dude, about the business is the business. And if we're talking about the car business, ultimately my business gets interwoven. It shouldn't take you effort to talk about your business and have it end up being sold via conversation. It's funny you say that though, dude, about the invites to the shows. You all probably deal with this too. I find it a little, it's not off-putting. I don't know what the word is, but it's just weird when people text me or message me and ask me to be on my show. It just comes off so weird. I haven't actually even done that with anyone yet who's asked to be on it. How do you all deal with that? Am I the only one who thinks that's awkward or weird?
Depends. One, at first it was kind of like flattering.
Yeah, you know, at first.
Like, well, thank you. You want to be with us? Wow. You know what I mean? I'm so pumped up about that. But in other spots we kind of vet what kind of value is it that they actually are bringing. Some people just like to have fun with the energy, and some people, that's the best way to get us on the phone and sit still for a little bit is to actually get that scheduled in where we can have a good conversation. Most of the value that we've pulled out of the conversation with people here, though we might be live and other people are watching and other people are commenting, but this is the first extensive conversation we've had with Sean Welsh, right? So this is the first time that we're able to usually pull those talks in with other people. So if there's something of value that they have, we want to know about it. We want to talk about it, and we want to blow it up from there. But usually we're pretty open about it, especially if people feel as though they have a message to put out. They have something they want to get out there. They want to pour something into somebody else's cup. We're usually open to it. But at first we were kind of like, wow, thank you. You better be with us. God. Thanks.
Cool. You know, but you know, it's, we do get people who reach out to us, you know, and I, it is, it's different, you know, cause for one, we are booked pretty deep. You know, there's certain people that I will make room for, you know, it's just certain highlights. Like, you know, there's people like you that I want to highlight because you're a big highlight, and it's, you have so much knowledge. And honestly, I'm going to be taking notes this whole interview with you. I know I am. And when I do, I'm going to learn a lot. I love learning. This show for me has helped me grow leaps and bounds over the last year. So this is going to be really educational for me. I know it's going to be educational for our audience, and it's key to keep growing. It's key to learn. It's key to understand that there's plenty of room for improvement, and every bit of room that you can, you know, every bit of improvement you can put onto yourself is just going to benefit not, and it's not just you. And Frank Lopes earlier today, he said, you know, he's going to take care of himself. Well, that's fact. And a lot of people think that's selfish, but you cannot give to people without taking care of yourself first. You have to make sure that you're educated. You have to make sure that you're well versed in what you need to be well versed in. You need to make sure that your body's taken care of, your mind, your family. Because if you can't take care of that, how do you take care of other people, right?
Agreed, man. When you're on an airplane, who's the first person they tell you to put your mask on? Proud of that, right? Boom. Just prevent yourself. You can't help others until then. So, yeah, no, we all are on the same page there. And Frank Lopes is a guy who knows, you know, has that sort of, you know, never going to stop attitude, and is always looking out for his clients, his partners, his everyone he works with. So one of the probably one of the only reasons I miss actual shows or ever going to shows is from the MC Frank Lopes.
Yeah, that's so awesome to hear. You know, that's pretty cool. Because yeah. Frank is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to having him on the show soon. And he's a great guy, just a good person to know. And he's another one of those guys where I look up to. I watch him and I see what he's doing, and it really motivates me to keep growing and keep doing my thing. You know, and so it's good to have people like you out there. You, Sean, you know, Sean, you know, all you guys out there, Glenn Lundy's, all these people are killing it. And I love it. And it's so much fun to watch. And it's the craziest thing is, like, it's watching people like you, especially, you know, you do not do it for the glory. You do it for the love of the game. That's it. And that's truly what I do it for. You know, I try to show consistency with what I do. I try to show people that you just do it daily. You make sure that you put that message out there, message of hope, message of, you know, positivity. And when that happens, it's great, but you also have to give truth. You can't sit there and just say everything's great when it's not. You have to explain what is great about what's not great, if that makes sense. You know, highlight the good stuff, but also explain and tell people there is turbulence in this world. So
it's tough to be in a position of honesty. You know, it came up yesterday on a couple of posts with guys I was communicating with and things I was engaging with. I heard you guys earlier about the clubhouse, everywhere is the damn clubhouse. Well, they don't make it for the other 50% of smartphone users, okay? So I'm not on the clubhouse. I appreciate all the invites. I do. But yesterday I had to drop some honesty on the fact that people said, oh, you have FOMO. You're sour about not being invited. No. I'm over being asked about it, all right? Let me just clear that up. It ain't like I don't want to be a part of the clique. I'm tired of being asked about something I can't use. So when it's available for the rest of us, which I guess sounds like March, whatever, send me the invites, get me involved. I'm not even sure I have room for another social love, to be frank, honest with you, because I'm an LI guy. That's how I grew my business, how I started my business. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I should say my wife is on those platforms via the logo. But this is where I engage. You know, LinkedIn is where I do business. And again, not to do business. Have we gotten business from it? Sure, but we started selling when we stopped selling. That's the reality of it. And the same thing happened when I sold cars. I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out as an entrepreneur. But the same thing happened. People can tell when you're selling them. And the best is when they can't. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I'm buying a car. How did this happen today?
I didn't mean to do that.
Because we're having a blast, because we're having a fun, because I believe in the show. I believe as a salesman, each customer is your time to pull the curtain back and be on stage, be front and center. And that means listening. That means paying attention. So, yeah, man, we're all on the same page there.
That's right. Sometimes when you're pulling the curtain back or you're peeling the layers off, you find out that there's something of value inside of everybody. You start to see that there's more. When you get deeper, when you spend that time with that customer and they tell you a story that touches your heart, they tell you a story that makes you actually want to make sure that everything that you're doing is for their better lifestyle, is for them to be improved, for them to truly be upgraded, not just for the transaction to happen, not just to get the money, but to truly have an impact and to upshift and uplift somebody else's life. And that's something that we are doing. We're partnered up with so many people. Speaking of brothers that we are partnered up with on LinkedIn, we have Elite FI partners that are always peeling the layer to show the eliteness. friends, Michael Offmuth, and all the solutionaries over at Elite FI. We are honored to say we are Elite FI partners.
That's
we
right.
Are pumped up about that. And because of the connections that we've made on LinkedIn, and I'm so grateful for being
LI,
able
man.
To connect
my favorite platform too.
So many people on LinkedIn and the things that you do learn. I know me personally, I stayed away from LinkedIn for a little bit because I thought that it was something that you utilized like you were trying to get a job. Because of the way that it set it up, I honestly did not know much about it at the time. Listen to Fred. Dude, this is where people are at. This is where people are actually brewing solutions. You need to get in here, meet some people. I jumped in there. And the value of people that I was able to pull into my life, I cannot put a price tag on because there's just so much that I have learned. And it's not just to get your business out there. It's so that you can have other people pour into and give advice about your business. Yeah. But speaking of business and doing it better, Sean Welsh, number two on this five liner. What is it that got you in the car business?
What got me in the car business was a family friend, frankly. I had been selling, so I've sold three things in my life. Like any good salesperson, I sold knives from Cutco when I first started out. I was 16 years old, doing a little door to door. And then I got into the men's clothing business, worked for the biggest, the baddest, the men's warehouse back in the heyday. And then I've been doing that. And a family friend of my mom, mom's a hairstylist, entrepreneur my whole life. And someone came to her, someone was in her shop, a good friend of hers who ran a finance department, one of the biggest Chevy stores in Illinois. And I was downstairs chatting with him. And he said, "Hey, you ever get tired of making, you know, $100 on selling suits?" And I said, "Well, I mean, look, I'm going to do okay. I'm a senior in high school. I'm on track to make $60,000 this year. I don't think that's that bad for a senior in high school." He said, "Yeah, but what if your first year out of high school, you can make $100,000? I thought, "Well, yeah, of course. Like, how do we do that?" And he said, "You get in the car business." And I thought, okay. And so originally it was really motivated, like I said before, it was really motivated by money. You know, that's the honest truth of it. I was there to get rich, to be that guy. And that's what happened. Within the first 3 weeks, I was on track for $150,000. I wasn't even 19 years old yet. And it is not something people prepare you for. I liken it to athletes in the way that once you get into a six-figure income and you've never seen it, heard of it, people in your lifetime aren't really in that world, right? I grew up in middle-class America. My parents worked their asses off. Yeah, they probably had a household income around that number, but it was never an individual number. And so when I started making that, it changed everything. It changed my relationships, changed my personal relationships with my parents. I came to my dad. I'm thinking about, you know, upgrading, getting myself something nice to ride. I already got a demo, which is sweet, but I want to get a Beamer on the side. Dude laughed me out of his house. He said, "You go buy a Honda and go buy your own house. Get out of mine." And I thought, okay. You know, and he was doing that lovingly, trying to help me, you know, move my life forward. So when we got into the car business, it was strictly, like I say, motivated about money. But I was lucky, dude. I got in there right as the advent of the internet began. So the owner of the group that I was with came to me and said, "Look, you're going to start in the BDC." Yes, there was a BDC 1998. And so went in there, learned the up and coming, taking phone calls, wasn't taking any ups, and learning the product and understanding how things worked, you know, and really getting into the business. So it was all about learning. And I learned really fast. And this is something not a lot of people know about me. I'm not a car guy. I don't know shit about cars. If I went to change an oil, I would just ruin a perfectly good sweater. It's just not, I don't know anything about it. It's not my world. If it weren't for Maroni stickers on new cars, I would probably be lost. But I've never sold a car in my life. I've sold people what they need, what they want. You know, that's what this is about. It's the connection between the biggest purchase in some people's lives. Sometimes it's the second, but there are a lot of people who this will be the biggest purchase of their lives, will not be fortunate enough to buy homes, but can buy cars. That really resonated with me. And I really found out early on that I wasn't going to be like everybody else because I worked with the clients, man. I tell this story all the time. First time a desk manager came over to TO a deal, he screamed at me because when he came over to TO the deal, I went and pulled up a chair on the other side of the customers and put my arms around him and said, "All right, let's go get this guy. Let's go get your deal." We made the car deal. He got really upset with me. He said, "How dare you do that? How dare you pin me against the customers?" And I thought to myself, first of all, that's a show. That's what we do to show unity. And second of all, what's the difference? Like, you guys brought it up earlier. The reason we struggle to move forward comes down to three letters, E-G-O. Okay? That is it.